Hi, welcome to another inspirational message recorded live at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Come on, we serve the resurrected King. We serve the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We serve the living God, the true God, the only wise God. That God that was, is, and is to come. Oh boy. Yes, Lord. David said that the Lord delivered him from a strong enemy because he was too strong for him, that the Lord, in the time of his calamity, the Lord was his stay. I'm talking about we serve a God that is forever with us. He's forever present and able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could even ask of or think, according to his spirit, his power that he placed on the inside of us. Good morning, church. Well, as you can see, I'm not Pastor Alex this morning. I was asked to take the morning service, and it is with a grateful heart, a humble heart, that I grace this pulpit. I don't take it for granted. Anytime you have the opportunity to minister the word, you're handling precious individuals. You know, the Bible talks about not handling the word of God deceitfully, and so it's always my prayer that I'm able to give you what God wants to say to you. And in my preparation for today's message, you know, I believe that God has really, really given me a timely word for you, and I pray that you receive it. I want to take a moment just to give honor to Pastor Alex and Pastor Naomi. You know, what great leaders God has. Yes, you can put your hands together. The great leaders that God has placed over us, great shepherds. And I'm truly grateful to be in their nurturing care. And so receive me as a son this morning, and let's go ahead and dive into it. How many love the word? Amen. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about standing strong and secure through the storms of life. You know, physical storms are reality, and it's pretty much a certain thing in our lives. We live here in Florida, and all across the world, you know, people experience storms all the time, thunderstorms, tornadoes, hurricanes. And if people don't take the right preparation or respond or deal with these storms in the right way, they can suffer a lot of damage. Things can be uprooted and misplaced. Even loss can occur. So it is in our spiritual lives that storms will come. It's inevitable. We live in a fallen world. We have a real enemy. God is building character in us, conforming us to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. So storms will come. There's different degrees of storms, as we're going to kind of take a look at some storms in the Bible this morning. In our spiritual lives, these storms could represent, you know, hardship. Maybe losing a job, becoming homeless, having a financial crisis. It could be a divorce. It could be, you know, loss of a family member or a loved one. It could be, you know, your children acting up. I mean, and the list goes on and on and on. We can look through all through the Bible, and we can see people and how they went through storms. There are some storms that are caused by our own doing, similar to Jonah. There are storms that God will allow into our life to build character. You know, God, what is, you know, Job said, he says, well, God, what is it that you prove us every moment? God is in the testing business. He wants to test. He wants to see what's in our heart. Show us what's in our heart. And there's also storms that the enemy will bring our way. Contrary winds, things that will come our way to keep us out of the will of God and accomplishing God's purpose for our life. Can I get an amen? Amen. So this morning we're going to take a look at three physical storms and stories in the Bible. And we're going to pull out some spiritual principles out of these storms that can help us and equip us to stand strong and secure through the storms of life. Because you see, when you go through a physical storm, most of the time, if something isn't firm, secure, it becomes subject to what the storm wants to do with it. trees begin to sway in the wind. Roofs are lifted up off of a house. But I don't believe that God wants us to be uprooted and misplaced or experience damage or even loss. Can I get an amen? So we're going to look at three familiar stories this morning. We're just going to visit them just briefly because I want to kind of set the stage and show you something that is, all three of these storms have something in common. So if you could put the first one up, Mark 4, verse number 38. Please bear with me. My voice is a little stressed this morning, but I got to be about my Father's business. Mark 4, 38, it says, "But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Do you not see what's going on? Are you not concerned?'" Second story, Matthew 14, verse number 30. "But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.'" And then the last one that we're going to look at is Acts 27, verses 18 through 20. "And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. And on the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up." Now that's a major storm there, and I'll talk in a little bit more detail here in a minute, because it said that now neither sun nor stars appeared for many days. This wasn't just a couple hour storm. But all three of these storms have something in common. They were real. The people that were experiencing these this was genuine, but they all were fearful. They were all shaken. You see, when storms in our life come, they don't usually come with a lot of, giving us a heads up. They usually catch us when we're not looking. They come as a bit of a surprise. And when these storms come into our life, there's something that happens. We've got to respond to them. And it's through our response to these storms that we begin to find out what's in our heart. The early church, these early disciples experienced these physical storms, and what they begin to see is that in their heart, there was some unbelief. There was some doubt in them. And so it is with us when we go through the storms of life. God has a way of showing us what's in us. I don't know about you, but I've been through some storms in my life and I didn't respond very well. I threw a hissy fit. Kicked and screamed and everything else, and storms, they don't feel very good. But in that, God began to show me and said, "Well, look inside. What's in the heart comes out. Yeah, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." And all of a sudden, now you're hearing yourself say all of these things, and you're like, "Well, where in the world did that come from?" And God said, "What's it's in your heart? You press the grapes, some stuff comes out of it." You know, storms have a way sometimes of pressing us and revealing our heart. So this morning, we're going to take a look at these three particular storms, and we're going to look at it in a little bit more detail, and we're going to pull out some principles. You see, when I was praying and I was asking God, what would he have me to deliver? I could just put together a message, but I want to be able to hear from heaven and be able to give God what it is that you need. I want to know what God's heart is towards you, because I may see your faces, but I don't know what you're going through. But I know God's heart is to build you up, strengthen you, and desire to see every one of you fulfill everything that God has for your lives. And so in my time of preparation, I asked God, I said, "God, what would you have me to say to him?" And he didn't speak audibly or in the still small voice. He gave me a picture. He gave me a vision. And I'm not going to share with you that vision yet until the end of the message. But that's why I said I believe it's a timely word. Because this is from the throne for each and every one of us, self included. So let's go back to Mark chapter 4, verses 38 through 41. Now this is the story where Jesus and his disciples are in the boat. And they're in the boat together, and Jesus tells them, and he says, well, let's go to the other side. They get in the boat, and they take off, and they're headed to the other side of the sea. And in the midst of it, a great windstorm arises. The wind is blowing, and it's rocking the boat, and the waves are crashing, the water's going in the boat, and the disciples are freaking out. This storm is real to them. It's really happening. The water is literally in their toes, and they can feel it. And they're out in the middle of the sea. But notice what they said. They said, well, Master, do you not care that we're perishing? You see, when we're going through storms of life, a lot of times we feel like we're alone. That I'm in this storm all by myself. And I don't know about you, but there's times when I've looked up to heaven and said, well, God, don't you see what's going on? Do you not care? Do you not see the tears coming out of my eyes? Do you not feel the break in my heart, the struggle? But I'm going to tell you, God sees it. There's nothing hidden that he doesn't see. He knows the thought and intent of our very own heart. When we're going through a storm, it's important for us to always remember who's in the boat with us. To remember that God will never leave us nor forsake us. You're never alone, for his presence is forever with you. So does God care? Absolutely. He gets up and he speaks to the storm. And he says, peace, be still. And the sea becomes calm. You see, we serve the God of the impossible. We serve the God that is sovereign and has authority over everything, including the elements. Know who it is that is in the boat with you. Not only about his presence, but know that he is Almighty God. That there's nothing that you would ever go through in your life that you cannot overcome with him. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Is he able? Absolutely. Is he willing? Absolutely. Jesus stood up with all authority and commanded that storm to stop. You see, some storms are not the will of God. And I believe that's one that wasn't the will of God. Because if you read on past a few scriptures later, you get into chapter 5 of Mark. And you see how when they got to the other side, there was a man who lived among the tombs. And he came to Jesus, and Jesus delivered him from a legion of demons. You see, they were on an assignment to deliver somebody and set somebody free. And so when they set out in the will of God, there was a contrary wind that was sent against them to stop them. And if that's the kind of storm that you find yourself in, you get up like Jesus and you begin to declare the word of God, the will of God, the authority and power of God. For it's not you. It's him in you, his word in you, his anointing upon you, but he's delegated it to you that you can reflect him and extend his kingdom. So Jesus, he's showing off like he always does. He's God and he's awesome. Showing himself mighty on our behalf. Getting glory because he deserves it. He's worthy of it. And so he commands the sea to be still and calm. And then the disciples, it said they were astonished. Like, well, who is this man? That even the sea and the winds obey him. Are you kidding me? He's in your boat. You've been walking with him all of this time. You don't know who he is? Church, hear me. When the storms of life come, it's an opportunity for you to get a fresh revelation of who Jesus Christ really is. They walked with him. They saw him cast out demons.
They saw him lay hands on the sick and see them recover. But now they saw him as the God that had power over the elements and could command the wind to cease, the storm to cease. Even in the midst of a storm, when it's not real pleasant, there's good that can come out of it. No matter what the storm. Man, I get excited. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to Matthew chapter 14, 27 through 30. This isn't a very long message this morning, but pray it really ministers to you. Matthew 14, 27 through 30. Now, this is the story where Jesus' disciples are in the boat. They're by themselves, and they've got to go to the other side. And they start going, and they get about halfway through. And they keep rowing and rowing and rowing and rowing, and they're not going nowhere. The wind's contrary, not allowing them to move forward anymore. They start getting a little freaked out. I think I probably would too. And then they see somebody walking on the water. And one of the disciples said, well, it might be a ghost. Then Jesus speaks and he says, well, don't be afraid. Be of good cheer, for it's I. Jesus letting them know that, listen, I'm here. When we're in the midst of a storm, we got to be looking for Jesus. It's real easy to take notice of all of the things that are going wrong in the midst of the storm. It's easy to keep your focus on those things. But if we would have a laser focus and find Jesus in the midst of the storm, we can stand strong, we can stand secure. You see, Peter and Jesus were talking back and forth. And Peter realized that it was Jesus now. And he said, well, Lord, if it be you, maybe a little bit still uncertainty there. Lord, if it be you, then bid me to come. Come out on the water. Bid me to come. Tell me to come, God. And Jesus said, come. Peter begins to step out of the boat. And he begins to walk on water. You see, when you're in the midst of a storm, you've got to keep a dialogue with God. You can't allow the things of the storm and all of the stuff that's going on to keep you out of the face of God. You've got to stay in a place of prayer, communicating with God. Now, I don't know about you, but if my phone is dying and I don't plug it up to the wall, it's going to die out and I'm not going to be able to use it. You've got to stay connected and plugged into the right source. And you do that through prayer. So in the midst of the storm, it's vital. Is it easy? Absolutely not. I just want to complain. I want to murmur. I want to go hide my head under the covers. I want to just lock myself in the room because it's not easy. But if you press, in and you communicate with God, let me tell you what happens. We serve a God that not only hears, but he speaks. And so when Peter pressed in and he's communicating with God, God gives him a word and he says, come. It was that very word that enabled him to step out of the boat and walk and not be subject to what the storm wanted to give him. If God gives you a word in the midst of the storm, tell me not. Oh, glory. It is a sure footing for you to stand strong and secure in the midst of the storm. You see, when a storm comes, you might not necessarily know what's going on. What is this work that's bringing about in the storm? But when you pray and you seek the face of God and you get a word from him and he says, you know what? This is okay. I'm doing something. Just let me work. If God gives you that word, guess what? I can stand strong and I say, well, my God's got me. Because just like the song said, if God be for me, then who can be against me? If I'm in the midst of the storm and it's a demonic attack and they're coming and they're trying to mess with my children and my marriage, my finances and ministry and all things that pertain to me, and it's rising up against me, if I press in and I stay in dialogue with God and he gives me a now word, and he says, this is not from me. Guess what? I'm standing up in the boat and I'm commanding that stuff to cease in Jesus' name. I'm pleading the blood of Jesus over my family and everything that he has entrusted to my care.
Don't underestimate your God. Don't underestimate his power and authority that he's delegated to you. Stand up and exercise it against everything that is contrary to the will of God. You see, Peter, he steps out and he gets this word from God, and he steps out and he begins to walk on the water, and he's focused. He's no longer being tossed to and fro. The wind isn't moving. He's not swaying. He's literally walking on water, and he's looking at Jesus. And then all of a sudden it says, then he saw the boisterous wind. You see, in the midst of the storm, you can be doing real good, but then just something just happened. And all of a sudden your focus shifts from God now back to the storm. And you begin to sink. You begin to get back into that same place of despair, depression, frustration, and everything else. Keep your mind, your focus on him. I shared with the first service one of my favorite scriptures among all of them, from Genesis to Revelation, is Isaiah 26:3. It said that God would keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. If we endeavor to keep our focus on him, it doesn't matter what's going on around us. He'll keep us in perfect peace. It doesn't matter what the enemy's up to. He'll keep us in perfect peace. I don't know about you, but I need peace. I want peace. I gotta have peace in my life. Why? Because it's my portion. It's your portion in Christ. You don't have to be tossed. I don't know about you, but it's not fun when you go to the beach, and anybody that's ever body surfed, you know, when you go and you start swimming, you know, and you catch that wave and you're going, and then at the end of the wave, all of a sudden, man, you start tumbling. And it's not, you have no control over it. It's not pleasant. I don't like that. I don't want a storm to come into my life and do that to me, my children, my wife, and everything that we have. No. Are you with me? Stay focused in the storm. And then let's go to the last one. Acts chapter 27. Verses 22 through 25. Now this is the Apostle Paul, the great man of faith. And he's going on a ship and he's headed to Rome for what awaits him there. And he's on the ship with a whole bunch of people, and they're going and they set sail, and they get to a point where this strong tempest, this wind called Euroclydon, begins to rise up and come against them. And I looked at this word in the Greek to get a better understanding, and it's a powerful word. It's a word, it speaks of a whirlwind. It speaks of like a hurricane or a typhoon, something serious. And this is the scripture I was telling you, that no sun nor stars appeared for several days. This was something that was ongoing. Anybody ever been in a storm that seems like it just doesn't end? It just seems like it goes on and on and on. The whole first year of my wife and I our marriage, it just seemed like it was one nasty storm. It just kept on and kept on. But guess what? We're still standing. You've been through some storms just like that, and you're still standing. So the storm rises up and come against them. And the Bible talks about how Paul had an angel of God speak to him and tell him, he says, well, Paul, you've got to go to Rome. You're going to Rome. And he says, there's going to be loss regarding the ship and the goods and all of that stuff, but there's no life that is going to be taken. And then Paul begins to declare them and tell them, Let's read it here, 22 through 25. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul, for you must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. God does not lie. If God says you're going to Rome, guess what? You're going to Rome. The amazing thing is this. The angel of God was telling Paul he was going to Rome, but this wasn't something that was the first time he had ever heard it. In Acts chapter 26, somewhere around there, a couple of verses or chapters before, before he got on the ship, he was told that he had to go and stand and present himself before Caesar. Earlier on in the book of Acts, the prophet Agabus even gave a prophetic word talking about him being bound and headed there. Well, what does this have to do with the storms that we face? When you're going through a monstrous storm like they were going through, you need to get in the old binders, the old journals. You need to go back to the audio tapes, and you need to remind yourself of everything that God has spoken to you concerning your life. Every personal prophecy, every word that he has spoken to you in the secret place, when you've been on your bathroom floor crying out to God, when you've been fasting, when you've been praying and laying your life down, seeking his face, and you hear him. You get those words, and just like Paul told Timothy, he said, take those prophecies that was spoken to you, and you wage a good warfare with those. You know, and I'm going to use my wife again as an example. I shared in the first service, but my wife, she's got, well, she loves books, but she loves journaling too. And she's got journal after journal after journal. And it's all prophecies that God has spoken to her over years and years. She's been walking with God way longer than I have. And she's always going back and she's reading. I said, babe, what are you doing? She said, I'm just reading over some prophecies. I'm like, why? She's like, because it strengthens me. It strengthens me. It reminds me of who I am, where I'm going. It reminds me of my purpose. You see, it's not always mountaintop. But you go through some stuff as a Christian. And yes, everything's fine on the mountaintop. But when you get down in the valley, you need to go back into those places. And you need to remind, God, you said this. And then God, you said over here, and God, you said over there too. So God, I'm standing. You see, sometimes you go through some things that you feel like this is the end, that I can't see, that I can't see the other side of it. Man, I've been there. You've been there. Who's going to get you through that? You think the word of man, the arm of flesh is going to get you through that? No. God can certainly use people. But it's his word that is like a hammer that breaks the rock into pieces. It is his word that he upholds far above his name. It is his word that stands and supersedes every other thing. It's his word. He said that heaven and earth would pass away, but his word would remain. I don't need nothing but the word. Give me the word. The word has a way of, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but there's some times when I just get the word, I need a breakthrough, and the worship ain't getting me there, and I'm praying, and it seems like I'm just hitting a brick wall. And then you grab the Bible, and you just start reading. You start reading Psalms. Lord, you know, as the deer panteth for the water brooks, so my soul longs after you. And you start reading through these things, and it's just like a story, and then all of a sudden, you just something starts. It's like a lighter, and it's like a flicker, and now there's a fire that started, and then you start burning, and next thing you know, you start talking like a lion. It's like you become authoritative and stuff, man. It's like the word of God speaking it is so powerful. Do you know who you really are? What God has put on the inside of you? You are more than a conqueror. You are an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. You are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You are strong that is in the grace of Christ Jesus. You are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. God just reminded me of something. Daniel in the lion's den. The lions didn't eat him because of the lion that was on the inside of him. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world. A storm doesn't have to move you. The word secure means to be fastened. It means to be fixed. Not easily moved or uprooted, misplaced. Stable, firm. In preparing the message, I told you, God, give me a picture. And this is what He gave me. In the picture, I saw this concrete pole. And I saw these four bolts, these massive bolts, and they were securing this concrete pole to the ground. Similar to something like you see here in the sanctuary. And in this picture, there was the wind that was raging. And I'm talking about the strongest wind I've ever seen in my life. But that pole was like this. That pole did not sway. It did not move. Nothing. It didn't matter how strong the winds or the rains got. That pole did not move. That's you. That's us. I remember when Hurricane Andrew hit down in Homestead. My dad was working for this company, and they were making like porta toilets and some other stuff or whatever. And then we had loaded up a big old trailer, and we were taking them down to the Air Force base, I think it was, or Navy base. And we get down there, and then saw the devastation from the hurricane, and everything was flattened. I'm not talking about just like a half a building there or something. I'm talking about the stuff was to the ground. But every once in a while, you would see something standing upright. And just as I looked at all the devastation and I saw those things standing upright, I began to wonder and question, like, man, that thing is strong. That storm didn't even affect that structure. You see, when we stand strong in the storms of life, we become a powerful witness to people. That they look at us and they watch as we go through the storm. They see how strong the storm is. They're probably freaking out more than we are, and they're not even in it. But when the storm passes and we're still standing there, what does it say about our God? It gives us an opportunity to witness to how awesome our God is. And that it does not matter what comes in your life. With God, all things are possible. I don't have to be subject to what the storm wants to bring my way. If it wants to bring divorce, I can stand against it and say, peace, be still. If it wants to divide up my family, if it wants to destroy my ministry, if it wants to come against my finances, steal my home, break down my car, I don't have to subject myself to what the storm wants to bring. Neither do you. Yes, there are storms that we can get in of our own doing. And if that just happens to be a storm that you ever find yourself in, just do a Jonah. Just repent. Real simple. If it's a storm that God is allowing to bring out some, you know, character flaws and work something great in you and do something or testing or whatever, know that, listen, if God brought it in, if God sent His Son Christ to die on the cross, to shed His blood, to die, to be raised up to glory, to seat you with Him, you think that He's going to destroy you in the midst of a storm like that? That's not the God that we serve. He's conforming us to the image of His Son Christ. We're in the fire. So if it's that kind of storm, just stand strong. Let God do what He does. He's a great physician. He does things with gentle care and love and wisdom. But if it's the other storm, You stand up and say, this day I fight. I'm not a passive Christian, because the God that I serve is not a passive Christian. He's not a passive God. But you stand up for your family. There's a wind that's blowing, trying to move people and uproot them out of the body of Christ, out of the place that God has positioned them. And if you're going through that storm, you stand up and not let it do it. You make sure you stay in the place that God has purposed in his heart for you to be. And we come in agreement with every plan and purpose of your life. No weapon formed against you will ever be able to prosper. You are a blessed people. I want to encourage you today, church. Storms will come, but you can be that concrete pole that no matter how hard it blows, you stand. Why? Because you don't stand in your own strength. You stand in him. You pray and fast and you seek his face. You keep your focus on him. Let him remind you of the things that he's spoken concerning your life. For you are victorious and overcomer. You will go on to glory and fulfill everything that God has purposed for your life. If you would stand with me this morning. Father, there is nothing that we would ever go through in life that we would have to go through alone or not be well equipped to deal with. For you have given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of your Son, Christ. You've given us your word, your spirit. And it is my prayer this morning, Father, that this word would reach the depths of our heart and our beings. I keep thinking about that graphic with the lighthouse and how the tornado was coming right for it, and the lighthouse doesn't even move. It doesn't budge. It's there. It continues to shine and flash. It is my prayer, Father, that we would continue to stand in the midst of any storm that comes our way and let our light so shine before men that they would see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. I pray, Father, for everyone that is going through a storm right now, I pray that you strengthen them, encourage them, cause them to rise up no matter what the storm is. And for the storms that may be on the way, let us just be well prepared. You love us. You've loved us with an everlasting love. It's an unfailing love. Let us rest in that love when difficulties come our way. We bless you and we glorify you. I pray that your peace would be upon and with every person here all of the days of their life. That they would never leave you or allow a separation between you and them during the storms of life, but rather would draw close. I ask that you bless their day. Let there be great fellowship and opportunity to just love and laugh and rejoice in you, for you are our all in all. We love and appreciate you. We pray that tonight, Father, you bring everybody back for an awesome encounter with you, the true and the living God. We bless you and we glorify you. It is in Christ's name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.